Thank you, Terry.
Good morning. Jerry, I got to tell you, if you were listening, Ken gave us the answer yesterday. If you were listening, Ken gave us the answer. You said you don't get it. They're acting like sinners. They're acting like how sinners are supposed to act. Okay? That doesn't mean we don't love them, and that doesn't mean we don't preach to them and work for their salvation. But they're doing what sinners do, and we are doing what believers do. We are here this morning. Now, you know, as for those of you who are here for the worship service, I got up and blessed the emblems this morning. And I very rarely do that when I have to speak, because I feel like I'm monopolizing all the time. But you know, sometimes Lord tell you to do something and you better do it. So I got up. Rich, that verse, I was this far from getting up and reading it when you beat me to it. So praise the Lord. Okay, and the theme this morning was what? The worthiness of the Lamb. Praise team, what was the first song you sang? Worthy is the Lamb. Did you know that this morning's theme was going to be worthy of the Lamb? Okay, all right. God is working, and you need to pay attention. He's working. Okay. I have to read one verse as a text, but we will be all over this particular chapter and this verse all morning. And I say all morning because since I got up, I got an extra hour's sleep this morning. I have a lot of energy. So I feel like instead of going for 45 minutes like I usually do, I'm good for an hour 45. So sit back, relax, take your shoes off. Let's get going. Okay. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Isaiah 41, verse 13. I don't hear any. It's on the screen, so I guess no one's turned. Remember what I used to listen when I used to preach? I used to listen for the Bible pages to stop so I know everybody had found it. And it's up there now. Amen. Verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I want to read that again because it's just a great verse. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this morning's service. We thank you for the fact that Jesus indeed is worthy and worthy to be praised. And we just ask that as this service goes on, that we would bring to mind and to those hearts how the worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness of the God that we serve. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you know that the phrase, fear not, is in the Bible 365 times? 365 times, which brings to mind what? One for each day. So you can get up every morning, look for a verse that says, fear not, right? Now, when we talk about fear not, let's talk about what we're talking about. In the Old Testament, the word for fear, the majority of the time is a word called yare. That's the word, to be afraid. And hare is a word right next to it, which is the noun for fear. Okay, you can be afraid or you can have fear. In the New Testament, it's a much more familiar word, phobia. We know phobia, right? Okay, arachnophobia is one of the things that I have. Don't show me no spiders. And the verb is phobio. Now, I have to tell you that the majority of the use of these words in the Bible has a wide range of meaning. You can use the word fear in the Bible. They've used it to portray nervousness, anxiousness, And that same word can be used to mean extreme terror. It's a wide range, and it's used in that way. The same thing with phobia. It's used that way in the New Testament. It can go from, you know, like you say, I fear I've left my wallet at home. Not a big deal. You know, you may not be able to get on the train. You may have to go home and get your wallet. But it's not fear. But you can say, I fear that I could end up in Gaza next week. That's a big time fear. So when God is telling us not to fear, and he's telling us 365 times, he's talking about a wide range of emotions, circumstances, and environments. Now, I love to do Bible study, and this absolutely has nothing to do with my message for this morning. But I found, not what I just said, what's coming up. But I found, you know, there is a verse that Christians like to use, and I think many times they misuse it. They're going to say, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, I went to several churches at the start of the pandemic, and they were saying, we're coming to church because God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's not what that verse says. That word fear, that's the only time it's used in the Bible. It's one time. And it means God has not given us a spirit of timidness. It's a different word, entirely different verb. It's called delia. And what it's saying is, and if you read the verses before and after it, Paul is talking to Timothy about preaching the gospel. Paul is telling Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He has given us a spirit of boldness. He has given us a spirit of power because we preach the gospel in power. He's given us a spirit of love because when we preach the gospel, it's because of the love that we have for the world and God has had for us. We preach the gospel because we have a spirit of a sound mind, which means that we are intelligent and we are able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ in an understanding manner. It does not mean that we should go out and do stupid things because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Be careful, saints, because there are things out there that you need to be afraid of. Matthew 10, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather, what? Fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. There are things to be afraid of in this world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are things to be afraid in this world. God gave us the emotion of fear. It's a healthy emotion. It keeps us safe and out of trouble. You know, when we see something that does not look right, even if it's a minor fear, it's a nervousness, we back away from it. You know, there's certain streets when I was younger and I used to have to walk from here, not from here, but when we had 7-9, which is right down the block, I used to walk from the corner of Fulton Utica all the way down to the end of Malcolm X Boulevard, which is where the A-train, my six brothers and I would walk every Sunday. Four times. Because we'd walk for morning service, walk back for dinner, and then we'd come back for night service, and we would walk back. And sometimes, if it was really cold or dark, my dad would break down and let us get on the bus. But we would walk. And there were certain places we didn't walk as a group. Even there were six of us. We did not walk. We had our own gang, but we did not walk. We didn't go down certain streets. We didn't walk down Halsey Avenue because Halsey Avenue was Chaplain territory. And that gang would not let you walk through their territory. So there's a reason why we have fear. We have fear to keep us out of trouble. But God says, fear not. God says, fear not. So let's go back to the text. And I'm going to run through this text fairly quickly because it's kind of known and it's fairly general. Why is God saying to the children of Israel at this particular time through the prophet Isaiah, fear not? Well, here's what's going on with Israel. Israel was up to its old tricks, its New Testament tricks. They had been disobedient to God. The kings were not following the priest's commandments, the rules and the law. And therefore, as a punishment, God allowed the Babylonians to come in and take over northern Israel, Judea. The Babylonians took them. They took some of the Jewish people and brought them back to Babylon. We talk about the story of Daniel and the young boys. They were separated from their home. So and northern Israel, the two northern tribes, were under the control of the Babylonians. So the people of Israel are out of favor with God. They're under the control of the Babylonians. And on top of this, there are rumors starting to fly around the area that the Persians, who are much bigger and much stronger and much more ruthless than the Babylonians, were coming to have a war with the Babylonians. And if the Persians defeated the Babylonians, then the children of Israel, their situation didn't change. They were merely exchanging slave masters. And this was what was going on. And Isaiah, in his prophecy, is saying this to the children of Israel. Doesn't look good for children of Israel. They're in a bad way. But so God says to his people, and this is a but God situation. My brother Trevor loves when I do that. But this is a but God situation. But God says through Isaiah in verse 13, fear not. I will hold your right hand and I will help you. And he goes through his whole presentation of why the children of Israel should not be afraid. And I'm going to take you through some of it. It's extensive, so we can't cover all of it. Or we really would be here until an hour and 45 minutes. I don't want to do that to you. So let's just take a look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. We know this because a lot of this you will know because we were studying this when we were getting to know God. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth, and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills? God is talking about himself. What God is beginning to say to the children is, don't forget who I am. Verse 18. We're going to be going fast now, so keep up. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? There's nobody else like me. That's what God is saying. You can't, well, you know, I don't want to say hammer, you know, you can't touch this. But God would say, you can't compare me with anybody else. Verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent. God sits on earth as ruler. Man itself are like grasshoppers to him. That includes the Babylonians, that includes the Persians, and includes the children of Israel. God is in control. Verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Lord? He's saying, he's hammering this home. Listen, nobody like me. I am the great I am. I am the creator of the universe. I've created the seas. I measured the number of sands on this earth. when you look at the things that I have created, nobody can be compared to me. Chapter 41. Verse 4. Who hath wrought and done it? It is all the things that God has been talking about previously, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that God is God, you could say God is the man, but God is God. He is not the man, He is God. He is the great I am. Verse 10. Fear not, one more time, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret about those 365 times where God says, fear not. God only says, fear not to his people. God only says, fear not. He only, in the New Testament, when he says, fear not, he is talking to the children of Israel or he's talking to one of his prophets. In the New Testament, when God says, fear not, he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to his followers, and he's talking to us as Christians. Okay? Fear not does not count for the world. And we'll get into that a little later. And I want to show you. No, well, we'll come back to that. Verse 14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I like this one. I like this one. Because he reminds us who we are. Don't be insulted because God called you a worm. God don't lie. He is saying to you that you have no strength on your own. That's scripture. Jesus says, I am the branch, I am the tree, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when he says to Israel, look, I know you guys are weak. You should be weak. You should be feeling weak. You messed up. You got taken over by Judea, by the Persians. You're now slaves all over the area. And Cyrus is getting ready to come and beat you up a little bit more. And I know you're feeling helpless and worthless. But he says, don't worry, because I'm God. And you're my servant. He says that. He says that you... He says, you are my servant, and I am going to help you. So, I'm getting into this a little bit more, but regardless of what your circumstance is, regardless of how helpless you're feeling, regardless of what's going on in your life right now, regardless of how hopeless or misunderstood or whatever the situation is, if you are a child of God, God says, fear not. I'm going to take you by your right hand, and I'm going to help you. Amen? Yes. Verse 25. And I like this one too. I have raised up from one of the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun. He shall call upon my name, and he will come upon the princes under mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the Persians. You see, because what ended up happening, and we're getting to the crux of the matter, what ended up happening is that God, who is in control, Brother Tony from last Sunday, regardless of what goes on, you have to remember who's in control. God is in control. And he took those Persians, particularly the king of Persia, Cyrus, and he used them to rescue the children of Israel from their circumstances. Instead of, they were worrying about it, and what God did, what he had the Persians come, defeat the Babylonians. And praise the Lord, you know, you're studying one. If you read the first chapter of Ezra, you find out that Cyrus was a believer. He believed in God. He believed in the children of Israel's God. And because of that, he was the one who instituted the Jews returning back to Judea, to rebuilding Jerusalem over time, and the children of Israel gaining some degree of their independence and freedom. You see, God says, fear not to his people, because there's some things going on that you have to recognize. Number one, God is in complete control. Number two, you are his people. Children of Israel are his people. That's why, regardless of what's going to go on in Gaza, right, Israel will never be defeated again. Okay? And I don't want to get into the politics, because war is horrible. I am anti-war of any sort, because war means killing people. And that's just wrong. But there is a circumstance that God is in control in that particular situation. And I have to look at it and say, God, I'm waiting to see what you're going to do. Okay? But we always have to remember. Well, where was that verse? Let me go back to it, because I wanted to make a point. In 41. Yeah, verse 8. In verse 8 of chapter 41, God says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, whom I have chosen, and the seed of Abraham, my friend." You know, he's talking about you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about you. Okay, because we are now children of God. And there's that trio that you have to always remember. The trio of God in power, you are his person, and God's got a plan. God had a plan for the children of Israel. They were sweating it, they were worrying about it, they were fussing, they were worried. God said, fear not, I have a plan. Saints, that was back then. What's going on today? I got a long list. It's not even complete. It's not even comprehensive. But what's going on? We have wars and rumors of wars. Amen? We're having earthquakes. Amen? We're having tidal waves. We're having famine in Eastern Africa. We're having fires on the West Coast. We have political unrest. Do we not? We have it. In every part of the world, Christians are being persecuted for their belief. Is that going on? Amen. There has been a steady erosion in this world of God's principles, his rules, and his laws. Is that going on? And when we stand up as Christians and speak out about these things, we're ridiculed, we're teased, we're turned away from. In fact, opportunities even in this country to expound the gospel of Jesus Christ are shrinking as we speak. You realize that, right? Remember we used to go to Times Square every August and preach the gospel in the crossroads of the world. We had it in there. We could preach the gospel. No more. We used to have a community day where we'd get the whole block and the whole community would come and we could fellowship with them and eat with them and give out tracts and health care. No more. We can't get that. We can just barely stay on our property now and preach the gospel. The world is making it hard for us to preach the gospel. The world is making it hard for us to open our eyes and look outside and not be discouraged. But, I'm going to do a little admonishing because I can, because I'm up here and I have the mic. Now, you guys missed a heck of a conference if you weren't here yesterday. It was a wonderful thing. God bless those who came. I love you for coming. And I hope you tell those who missed it that next year they should come, because it's going to be even better next year. But Brother Ken, as my sister mentioned, Ken says, regardless of the time that's going on, whatever is going on in this time, you need to realize that God has you exactly where he wants you. And he said, for such a time as this. And we are here, and we are put here, and we're given work to do. Things to do. It's not an accident that we were born in this day and age. We are here, we are God's people, because God knows everything. We just finished talking about it. He's all powerful, he's all knowing, and he has a plan for you and you and you and you and you and me. And in his plan, he says to us, fear not. Fear not. Because I am God, you are my servant, and I have a plan. So we have to do what God says. The same God who back in the day took Cyrus, without Cyrus knowing what was happening to him, gave him the power to defeat the Babylonians and free the children of Israel. That same God is alive and working today. So that same God who had all that power and all that control is here today. And he is saying to us, fear not. We might be weak, like a worm. We don't have any power. What power do we really have to influence the world besides Jesus Christ? The only way that we're going to influence the world is by representing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christian behavior and characteristics, and displaying that to the world. That's where our power lies. Within what God has given us to do. God has a plan for us. It involves love, mercy, care, and victory, and salvation. So in the midst of all this, God can say very easily, fear not. I will hold your right hand and I will help you. But as I said before, God only says fear not to his people. So if you're not a child of God and you're sitting in this room or you're listening on Zoom, you should be afraid. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you become aware that there is danger out there, that you are unaware of the danger that you are in. Not only are you in danger of what's going on in the world, you don't have the protection of God, all those different things. We read it all the time. Somebody gets pushed in front of a subway. Somebody is riding in their car and there's an argument on the street and the two guys are arguing and shoot at each other and hits the guy in the car. We don't know. You know, you think of all those people who were driving down in Louisiana last week when the smoke fog hit. And like 15 of them got killed. They were just driving their car going somewhere. We don't know. And if you don't have the protection of the God, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. You're in trouble on this world. And you're in trouble even worse in the next. Because there is coming a time of judgment. There is coming a time of death and judgment. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is not saying to you, fear not. He's saying, be afraid. Be very afraid. I urge you. I warn you. I beg with you. God loves you. That's why he sent his son. He loves you, and he wants you to be safe and secure and to feel the power of fear not. I will take your right hand and I will help you. But you can't get there on your own. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I need a Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't help myself. I need you to come into my life. I accept you as my Savior. And you know what? It's instantaneous. It's instantaneous. You say that sentence and you mean it with your heart, and the very next breath you take, you are a child of God. You're a child of God. You're covered. You're covered by the fear not. You're involved in God's plan now, because it's for his children. So I am urging anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to accept him today. Accept him today. He is calling to you. If you're here and you don't know him, there's a reason why you're here, because God has a plan. And God's plan is for you to hear the gospel. Don't turn him down. Don't turn away. If you have questions about this, and I'm going to close out, if you have questions about this and you want to talk to me, I'll be sitting up in the front. Any of the brothers you saw stand up this morning are quite capable, or sisters for that matter, as particularly if you're a woman and you'll be more comfortable with a sister. There are sisters here who are more than able to show you through God's word, like this, you can become a child of God. Amen. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your fear not. We thank you that we have full confidence in you. We thank you that you are God Almighty, the great I am, and that you have taken us to be your children. We praise you for the protection that that affords. We praise you for the hope that that affords. And we sincerely hope, dear Lord, that if there's anyone here or within the sound of my voice who does not know you as Savior, that before time changes to eternity, even this very day, they would accept your Son as their Savior. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the rest of the day. We ask your blessing upon us and as we go back and forth to home, and we will continue to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and God bless.